Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not sure she's in charge of the tulip planting. When I heard Flower, it did indeed fall as she fell to sunny days. This could very well rank sunny days pretty high in the coming week. Yeah. It's a huge victory.
Are you saying the rankings will return this week? It's been over a month.
Yes, and the outcry has been huge.
That's for sure.
Yes. So they could very well return this month, yes. This would be the first one of the new year, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken. Now, will this be the debut rank of everyone ranked in this week's top 9 7/8, despite the fact most of them will have been ranked many times previously?
That's true. For all the people in the rankings to have their debut rank would be nearly next to impossible. Yes. In fact, I'd probably have to sneak in a fictitious wrestler, like Devin Tomahawk Bellinger. You've heard of him, haven't you?
Is he related to South Park and also Andrew Mitchell?
They're very closely related, although you never see them in the same place at the same time. Devin Tomahawk.
Well, you kind of do because they're the same guy.
Well, okay. Well, you know, your personalities and all that, yes.
Where will the 9 7/8 rankings appear? On whose book of faces will you give the honor of the first 2018 top 9 7/8 Pacific Northwest wrestler rankings, which might in fact include several inanimate objects making their debut ranks, especially at number one, so you don't have to cover the cost of a fruit pie?
They might appear on the Facebook page of Steve Bragg.
Aha, there we go.
Steve Bragg, a little bit.
Well, QT, our guest has joined us. Let's bring him on. We are joined by the hybrid Clark Connors. Sir, welcome to the show.
Well, how you doing, boys?
Doing very well. And since today happens to be your first time with us, we'll kick things off with the first-timer's question for you. What got you into the crazy business of professional wrestling?
Well, I always liked beating people up, and I always liked being an athlete, so we kind of put those two things together. And yeah, making money into that, that's pretty fun right there. That's a good combo.
That is a nice combo for sure. Now, you have a little bit more unique training experience than a lot of the people in our area. You actually were trained up in Canada, if I recall correctly, were you not?
I was, by the illustrious Lance Storm. Yeah, I started my training up there about a couple days ago. With Storm, and then I also have done some extensive work with the Buddy Wayne Academy as well, training with those guys.
Two extremely good trainers that always crank out quality professional wrestlers. Now, could you compare and contrast the training styles that you came across between Lance Storm and Buddy Wayne?
Well, you know what's interesting? As two guys that are so good, both of them, they really had a lot of similar teaching points in terms of wrestling and their philosophies on wrestling. So in that sense, it's actually very similar. The only difference really is Lance kind of has a little bit more of a facility versus Buddy's is definitely more of a Spartan aspect to it. You're in a garage and you're freezing your butt off, and it gets real hot in the summertime. It's great. They're both great, though, and they both have their own merits, for sure.
You have debuted for a number of promotions so far in the Northwest. You're wrestling all over the place in this area. For someone that's starting out like yourself, how easy or hard has it been to get into so many different promotions this early in your career?
Well, the thing is with me is I've been really lucky. I I've gotten to know a lot of people in the industry around here, and they've been kind enough to book me. But it all takes, in my opinion, is you got to just work hard, and you got to go to a lot of shows and put in my time. But around here in the Northwest, it's been, I wouldn't say easy, but I've been fortunate to be booked on a lot of places real early.
Now, you have worked on shows with a lot of named talent, people from all over the North American continent that have been big stars, be it on the independent level or from a national level, that have come on to shows that you've worked here in the Northwest. What's been some of the advice that some of these people that have been big stars and are big stars has been sharing with you?
Well, the one I always hear and I really enjoy is you always got to keep learning the entire time, right? And learn from the people from before you. So I always just keep my ears open, and I try to follow the advice of all these people and always try to get better in everything I do.
Now, you also have come across in your career a large number of female wrestlers. You've tagged and, to my knowledge, have wrestled against some lady wrestlers. You've shared locker rooms with lots of them. Ladies wrestling in our area was not very prevalent for a very long time. It's now starting to pick up in a major way. What's your take on the current scene of women's wrestling in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, I think we have some very talented women in the Pacific Northwest. Personally, I tag with one girl, Rebel Kell, and she's me and her in the after party together at Defy. But she's awesome, and she's just one of the many upcoming talents. And they're all lucky because they get to work with, you know, some really great other female wrestlers who get flown in around here. For example, we have Casey Carlisle. I know you and her are good friends. And Casey, yeah, but she's one of my favorite wrestlers, male or female.
She's extremely good, yeah.
Very good. Very old school. Yeah, she teaches everybody.
Oh, speaking of Casey Carlisle, whom I love, she and you, I believe, came across each other at PWF in Bremerton, Randy Taylor's organization. Randy Taylor, many, many years ago, way before you were ever in the business, ran a very successful wrestling company. He took many years off from the promoting aspect, but in the last year has reopened his company. It seems to be doing well. What's it like getting in on the ground floor of a new wrestling company like this that's trying to make their name and carve out their own niche in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, you know, it's not as easy as it sounds, right? You just got to be a part of something, and you just got to talk to the right people, and you got to try to be as good as you can.
Now, Randy Taylor also, in addition to being a promoter, also a veteran wrestler. He's been wrestling for well over 30 years and has done it on the biggest stage there is, down to the smallest of independent shows. So he's seen everything there is in this business. Have you been taking up any of the knowledge that Randy Taylor has? Have you gone to him looking for advice on how to improve, how to get better, how to expand your reach in wrestling?
Oh, yeah. No, I love Randy. He's a really, really good dude. Runs a really professional promotion up there at PWF. And, yeah, no, he's been nothing but great to me. And I always, like I said, always learning. And Randy's one of the guys who he knows what he's talking about.
Now, you mentioned, of course, teaming with Rebel Kell, who's extremely good, and more promoters should use her. obviously you have tag team experience in addition to singles experience. Do you personally have any type of preference on singles wrestling versus tag wrestling?
Well, personally, I like both, but personally, I'm more of a singles guy myself. Like I said, I'm in wrestling for the glory, and there's nothing like being a singles wrestler and going out there and trying to win championships. But at the same time, like, I think tagging, honestly, is probably more fun in my short experience so far. You get to be out there with usually a good friend, and you get to beat up people together, so nothing wrong with that.
Definitely very true. Now, you mentioned, of course, being trained in part by Buddy Wayne, and for the listeners that aren't familiar with Buddy Wayne, he was a staple in the Northwest going back to the Don Owens era. He caught the tail end of that, wrestled for Sandy Barr, was very, very legendary in our area, wrestled for WCW and the WWF many times. He left a legacy of guys that he trained that is pretty extensive. A lot of people out here either were trained directly by Buddy Wayne from the start, or they went to him for additional training. Who are some of the people out there that you've come across that maybe you didn't realize were trained by Buddy Wayne, but actually learn either just by the way they wrestled or from hearing in a locker room that they also were a Buddy Wayne trainee?
Well, I think Buddy had an imprint on just about everybody in this area. But, you know, like guys along the lines of King Cash and Carl Randers, there are a couple of real great Buddy guys. And just to name a few, classic Cody Chun, another one who's, you know, just a young star emerging. He's going to be great. And Rebel Kell, you know, you can see by all their styles that they're Buddy guys through and through, and they stick to his principles.
Absolutely. Also Big Jack Cunningham, Randy's partner, also a Buddy Wayne guy. Lots of them out there. He trained a lot of people over the course of the last 25 or so years. We deeply miss Buddy.
Hey, Sung, I actually, you know what? Can I get back to you soon? I have to run in and do something here real quick, but it's been just more than a pleasure.
Absolutely, yeah. Go right ahead. Take care of what you need to do. I know you're at a booking, so handle your business and give us a call back.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, bud.
Well, QT, you announced that the top 9 7/8 wrestler rankings are returning this week. I'm sure everyone is looking forward to that. Apparently, they will be on the Book of Faces of one Stompin' Steve. Will it appear only on his, or will all of his personalities get the same list?
Well, I wasn't sure that Stompin' Steve had multiple personalities.
Yeah, he sure does. He's got like dozens of them.
Oh, okay. So then you have heard through one of his personalities that this was a shocking news yesterday at 11:48 a.m. Lyle Lodge had her pants catch on fire.
Now, can we confirm that Stompin' Steve actually stomped out the fire?
Boy, I'm not sure. Now, I don't know if the fire occurred at the cuff area right above her ankle or right below the ankle or where on the pants that they did catch fire. But if he were to use an extinguisher, well, I hope they weren't like those pants that are made of, nylon, because, boy, they can really melt into the skin. I'm hoping that they were thick cotton. The cotton would be best.
Now, how do you think they caught on fire, QT? Do you think there was an incident with a candle? Do you think she misread the instructions on how to heat up Pop-Tarts? What do you think happened?
Well, I hope she wasn't working with road flares. That's my biggest concern, road flares.
Is that kind of like Ric Flair?
Yes, Ric Flair. That was a Ric Flair reference. Yeah. I don't know. Now, Sunday, there's different classes of extinguishers. A Class D extinguisher is used to extinguish deep fat fryer fires, as well you know, because you've worked in many restaurants, you know, with Class D extinguishers.
You have a point. Now, hopefully, if her pants were on fire, she didn't call any unsafe firemen that attempted to slam her face first into cement.
Yeah, that'd be terrible to have the pants on fire and then be thrown over the top rope. Holy smokes. Talk about going down in flames. Yes.
Now, she recently had major neck surgery, so I would fear for her if she had to call for firemen.
Oh, yes. Holy smokes. The number of mishaps are kind of mounting on Lila Rod. Yes, mishaps.
Yeah, I have to presume that Stompin' Steve was there to stomp out the fire.
Yeah. Now, Stangay, was the Kiwanis Adonis in action last night at SCW? Kiwanis Adonis.
He was not. I don't believe he has ever appeared at SCW.
That would be nice if he did. Yes, very good. I'm a pretty big fan of Kiwanis Adonis.
That is true. I believe he will be at PWF next week, though, on Saturday night.
Now, there's rumors that he's trying to get Mr. Connors himself into the Port Orchard Kiwanis. That was one of the questions I was going to ask Mr. Connors. Yep.
Well, I've not heard the rumor, but it wouldn't surprise me because the Kiwanis Adonis, as you know, belongs to every fraternal organization and secret society in the world.
Wow, secret society. Yeah, that's something that we may have to start some day. A secret society. But it would be so secret.
Possibly.
Not in this day of age of cameras and Facebook pages. We'd have to make it ultra secret. Ultra.
Well, you know, if it's secret, then Adonis belongs to it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, who else was in action at La Puebla Mita last night? Did Coach Mike Jones show up?
Coach was not there, but one of your all-time favorites was there, Mateo.
Oh, wow, Mateo. Okay, very nice.
Mateo on the losing end of the stick against Sean Angel, the returning Sean Angel, able to defeat Mateo with a small package.
Oh, holy smoke. I'll have to do well, then Mateo can still be ranked.
That's possible. Now, also in action was the newly arrived tag team of Leon Knight and Lance Dean, and they made very quick work of the Bremerton Hillbillies.
Now, how quick of a victory did they secure? Was it in the top 10 of all practice times?
In the top 25 for sure.
Well, that's we're talking less than a minute and a half.
What was that?
Less than a minute and a half.
Yeah. This might get Lance Dean ranked QT. Listen to this. He actually brought to the ring soap, deodorant, matches, and a washcloth, and he threw them at the Bremerton Hillbillies before the match started.
Well, who did the Bremerton Hillbillies comprise of?
They comprise of the man formerly known as Granite and the man formerly known as Sam Sims lookalike.
Oh, Very mysterious. Okay.
No, really, now, because Granite took off his mask and revealed himself to be a Bremerton hillbilly.
That clarifies things.
Yeah. Now, well, the fact that Lance Dean threw all of these cleaning supplies at the Bremerton hillbillies get to him ranked in the top four.
Oh, very close, very close. Maybe go as low as 4.5.
That's not bad. Yeah. Now, also in action last night, you saw the team of Goblin and Shane Taylor taking on Von Hess and the newly minted Plague, Plague formerly known as Christian Cross.
Oh, okay. Wow. What was the result of that?
Well, Plague and Von Hess won the match, but afterwards, Shane Taylor laid out a good portion of the locker room. He was knocking guys out left and right.
Man, what is that? What, did someone steal his gym bag? His gym bag.
Yes. Well, it looks like our guest has returned. Let's bring him back on. Mr. Connors, are you back with us?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that. You know, sometimes in the world of professional wrestling, you have to call on the fly, and this is one of those occasions.
Completely understand. No worries. Well, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that QT has questions, so Thez, help you as I pass things along to him for a bit.
Love it. All right, what's up, QT?
Hey, not too much, Mr. Connors. We usually start out the second half of our show with the following question. What is the hardest knife-edge chop you have received, or perhaps the top three hardest knife-edge chops? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, again, I might get into. Look, Mr. Connors, we usually start out the second half of our show with the following question. What is the hardest knife edge chop you have received?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I don't know if I have an answer for that because I've only been doing this for such a short time. You might have to get me back on that next one. You might have to ask me again and next time I call after do an interview with you guys.
Oh, okay. Or you can think about it over dinner tonight and then contact Sign Guy. He'll be very yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Connors, is it true that the manager of Mint Conditioning, Kiwanis Adonis, has pulled some strings and may get you into the Port Orchard's Kiwanis Club?
Well, you know what? I have had a couple of talks with the Kiwanis Adonis, and you know what? I refute all those allegations. No, he's not going to pull me into the Adonis or the Kiwanis Club. I'm strictly an Eagles man, and I will continue to be.
Wow, an Eagles man. Very nice.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What are the top three qualifications that you have to be an Eagles?
Well, you have to be just a refined gentleman to start. Two, you have to drink a ton of beer. And three, you got to be even more of a gentleman after you drink all that beer.
Oh, okay. Even if that includes Bud Light?
Oh, I love Bud Light. That's one of my favorite beers.
Oh, wow. I was going to say it was Molson because of your experiences up in Canada. Yes, Molson.
No, I drink American. Red, white, and blue, baby.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Clark, you went through Lance Storm's Academy. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil show fans where this is located? I miss the city.
Oh, well, that is in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It's a wonderful place, and it's probably as cold as the surface of Mars right now. It's freezing up there. But, yeah, it's a great city, and if you ever get the chance, you should come check it out.
Well, that was where the Hart Foundation was out of.
It is.
Hart's. Ooh, yeah. Boy, they went through the dungeon up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually have seen the Hart House. and it's very spooky.
Wow, is it like the house on 1313 Mockingbird Lane?
Very similar to that, yeah. Same architect, I believe.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, yeah, I know that you heard screams coming from both when Mr. Hart would put people through the stretches. Yes.
Oh, yes. I don't know if he's still doing that, but I would imagine that somewhere there's some ghosts doing the same.
Yes, yes, okay. Well, Mr. Clark, as part of the Lance Storm curriculum, did you have to take pop quizzes?
Well, I did not.
Oh, okay, no pop quizzes, all right. When graduation day came from the Lance Storm Academy, did you get beer money as a present?
Well, I would have loved that, but actually he's pretty against drinking too much, so I didn't, actually. Maybe Tim Hortons money for coffee, though.
Oh, coffee, okay. Right.
Yeah, Lance Storm's a big Tim Hortons fan, so if you ever want to get him a gift, send him a Tim Hortons gift card.
Oh, okay, all right, okay. Do you yourself have your own Keurig coffee maker, Keurig?
I do at the moment. I was never a big coffee drinker, but I recently procured a Keurig, and it's a wonderful product.
Oh, okay. All right. Very nice. Well,
do
Clark,
you, QT?
What's that? No, I don't.
Do you have
it? I had to quit drinking coffee because of my stomach.
Oh, no. Do you get too jittery or just get upset?
Oh, it's been upset for about 2 months now. Yes.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's not good.
Yeah, that's terrible. I hope I never receive a knife-edge chop to the stomach. Yes.
Oh, yeah, no thank you.
That's why I can't get into wrestling at the moment. I have to cure my stomach.
That makes sense. Yeah, you got to be careful.
Unless I had a match with Paw Moonshine, then I could go in there with an upset stomach. Paw Moonshine.
Why is that? Why could you go in there with an upset stomach?
Well, I've noticed that he doesn't target the stomach area very much, and he never gives abdominal stretches.
Ah, right. Yeah, you've been doing a lot of scouting then. That's good.
Oh, yes. I've scouted Paul Moonshine very good. We're on good terms. Yes, I would never backstab Paul Moonshine ever.
Good, good. It's good to have friends like that.
Yes. Okay. Well, Clark, why did you choose the name Hybrid? Was this a nickname that your parents gave you in the same way as rapper Snoop Dogg's parents gave him when they named Snoop?
Actually, it wasn't my parents. It was actually my grandparents. When I was born, they didn't give me the name right away, but once they saw how fast I was and strong I was, just as a young child, they named me the Hybrid. And ever since then, I've been on a path of conquering, and that's what brought me into this beautiful world of wrestling.
Oh, okay. Now, you see, I made a mistake. Snoop's grandparents named him Snoop after the Peanuts character Snoopy. Snoop.
Ah, well, you know what? That makes sense. I thought I knew that. So I knew me and Snoop were pretty much kindred spirits anyways, so...
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Now, he runs a game show. I think Wheel of Fortune, but Joker's Wild. Yes.
Right. Joker's Wild. That's the truth, man.
I'd pay huge money to see Clark Connors on Joker's Wild with Snoop Dogg. I'd pay big money.
Book it. Yeah. Give Snoop a call, and I'll see what I can do. Yeah. Great show.
Oh, okay.
TBS. Always funny.
All right, well, Clark, an example of a hybrid is a liger. That's when they cross a tiger with a lion. If you were a liger, what percentage of a lion would you choose and what percentage of a tiger?
Wow. This might be the most important question I've ever answered in my life. Well, I got to say, I would probably about 65% tiger, because tigers are usually a much bigger species, actually, and would generally tear apart a lion if they were from the same habitats or ecosystems. But I would do want actually, I'm going to change that. I'm going to say 85% tiger, and I just want the heart of a lion. Because obviously that's you know, bravery and King Arthur and such, you know, it's kind of my motto, my.
Plus, you'd probably look better in stripes, also. Yes.
Yes, they're slimming, very slimming.
Orange and black stripes. Okay, I'm gonna mark down in our logbook 85% tiger. This is very important.
Yeah. Yes. No. It's,
no.
You made me think there for a second, and yeah, no, I am. I'm glad you asked me that. That's some philosophical stuff.
Oh, very philosophical. Yes.
Okay. Right.
Well, Clark, the soft drink Sprite is the hybrid of soft drinks. It has lemon and it has lime. My question is Sprite your choice of replenishment after a hard workout?
Well, yes. Yes and no. I would say not after a hard workout. I would say on a hot summer's day, though. A nice Sprite poured over ice is a wonderful beverage to enjoy. But after a workout, no, I wouldn't drink Sprite. I would probably look for more of a protein-based drink. Generally, I just guzzle broken raw eggs after a workout. I break them and I put them in my mouth one by one, usually about 6 or 7.
Wow. Okay. Kind of like in a Rocky mode. Okay. Rocky.
Very similar. Yeah. Very similar. Except it's not as, I would say it's not as glamorized as it is with Rocky. It's a very disgusting process and it takes quite a bit of time.
Okay. Now you said you would have a Sprite over ice. Would that be a combination of ice cube and shaved ice?
No, I'm more of a cube man myself. I think shaved ice is the bastard of the ice world. It's not, it shouldn't be considered ice in my opinion. I'm very against shaved ice. It's got to be cubed.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Very shaved ice. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, on Friday's show of Turnbuckle Turmoil, we had as our guest Big Ron Fuller, who had the luck of wrestling Harley Race and Hulk Hogan. He runs a podcast show called Studcast. Do you have any plans to have your own podcast show in the future?
Well, the thing is, you guys set the bar so high here at Turnbuckle Turmoil that I don't know if I would be able to compare. I don't have the type of range and really great question asking you guys have. I'm thoroughly impressed, by the way. Very good stuff, and I love your show. But I may be in the future, but I'm not very technologically sound, so I don't know if I'll be able to figure out how all this podcast equipment works.
Well, yeah, that switchboard can get pretty tricky at times. Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm not really good at all that. I stick to wrestling.
Well, if you did have your own podcast show, what would your opening music be?
Good question. My entrance music is Check Yourself by Ice Cube. I'm a big fan of urban culture and urban music. So I would say something maybe along those lines or whatever my theme song is at the current time.
I wonder if Ice Cube himself is a big fan of Ice Cube or if he prefers shaved ice.
Okay. Look. Yeah, no, that's one of my reasons I don't like shaved ice is because I know Ice Cube is a staunch shaved ice hater and cubed ice aficionado.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very nice. Okay. Well, Clark, Mr. Fuller had the fortune of having Andre the Giant over at his a few times briefly. Andre was known to have 100 beers in one sip. If those were 8-ounce beers, that would be 50 pounds of liquid. If you sat down with Andre, should you have the ability to time travel, what would be your final total of beers drunk compared to Andre's 100?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I would say if I'm hanging with Andre, I got a, and he was what, 450 pounds or so, or about 500. I'm almost 200 pounds. So I would say I could probably get in about 40 beers. I'm about 40% his weight. I could probably do 40 beers with Andre. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't probably be walking very well either, but I could probably do that.
Well, I got, now after 40 beers, I'm not sure your ripped abs would be so ripped for the next 8 hours.
Probably not for the next 8 hours. Hopefully they come back though.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Clark, I saw your YouTube video entitled Carl Cunningham versus Clark Connors with Rebel Kell, Defy Wrestling Belltown, a block party, and this took place on August 19th of last year. The ring announcer said that Carl Cunningham was from the mean streets of Kokomo, Indiana. There is another wrestler from the Northwest who is currently retired, and his name is probably familiar to you, Aaron Bolo. And
he is
from the streets of Seoul, South Korea. Who would you fear most based on their mean street location? Aaron Bolo from Seoul, South Korea, or Cunningham from Kokomo?
Well, first and foremost, I know this is a hypothetical, but I do not fear no man. But if I had to choose one, I personally know Carl Cunningham a little bit better than I do with Mr. Bolo. And I would say Indiana is not as scary as South Korea to me. So I'm going to have to go with, I'd fear the mean streets of Seoul, South Korea a little bit more, and Mr. Bolo himself, because I know deep down Carl Cunningham is kind of a softy, even though he's kind of mean.
Oh, okay. He himself would be a hybrid then, softy and mean.
Exactly. No, he's the definition. You guys should have him on here sometime. I know he listens to the podcast.
Oh, hey, now that's an idea. I will get together with Sign Guy and see if we can schedule Carl Cunningham. That's a very good
thought. You should. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, awesome.
Okay. Well,
you put that down in the show book.
Show book, yes. And in fact, if we have him on, you could come on and sneak attack him with a question.
Oh, yes. That'd be great. I'd love nothing more.
Well, you could disguise your voice.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. He wouldn't even know.
Good idea, Sanka.
Unless he listens to this podcast, which he probably will, and then our cover could be blown.
Now, what is your record against him? Are you 1-0?
I got to think about that one. I am in singles competition. I am 1-0. Against him in tag competition, we are 1-1.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Actually, no. In tag competition, we are 2-1 actually.
Smokes. Wow, look, they're 2-1 and 1-0. Wow, okay.
Yeah. So you can
okay.
say that I'm a much better wrestler than Carl.
he might disagree with that, but that's why we'll have him on the show. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. You tell him I said that.
Well, all right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, Clark, Rebel Kell came into the ring and body slammed Carl at the 7:50 mark of the match. To your knowledge, did Rebel Kell also go to the Lance Storm Academy?
Well, no, Rebel Kell did not. She was exclusively trained by Buddy Wayne. That's why she's so good.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Clark, on our interview Friday with Big Ron Fuller, he mentioned that two places that he wrestled at and that stood out in his mind were Madison Square Garden and the Cow Palace in San Francisco. Have you yourself ever been to the Cow Palace in San Francisco? And if so, how did this compare to Belltown?
Oh, wow. I've actually never been to the Cow Palace, but I drove by it actually just about, probably about 10 days ago. I was in California and I drove by it. and I would love to work there. But you know those Belltown streets, as you can see, is just a wild venue. You know, I mean, I would put it right up there with the Pontiac Dome in terms of just atmosphere. Those 150 people, ooh, they're pretty wild.
Yes, and you had a rare Pacific Northwest twilight match. It must have been around 5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, no, that was the first twilight match, I believe, since Piper and Morocco fought in, I think it was 86, I believe. If I got the date right, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Well, now the Cow Palace, I believe that's located in the city of San Mateo, right next to San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It is. I was down there for a wedding, and so it is in San Mateo. You're right.
Oh, now were you best man in the wedding?
I was actually best man in the wedding, yes.
Oh.
Good guess.
Who was a happy bride and groom?
Well, that would be a very good friend of mine from college and his lovely wife. They're not wrestlers, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, that's right. You went to Cal Poly. And
I did. In
theology or something, the study of movement.
I did. That's very good research on you guys' part. I'll give you that.
Well, okay. Yes, we do our research, yes.
Very thorough. Thank you. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, all right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I'll get together with Sign Guy and get him Paul coming in.
Absolutely. No, thank you, QT. I'll talk to Sign Guy.
No, okay.
Thank you, QT. Well, Clark, just as a side note, Carl Cunningham comes from the mean streets of Kokomo, Indiana, but I once ring announced at a show in the mean streets of Kokomo, Indiana.
Did you really now?
I really did. It was for AACW.
Very cool. That's awesome. Are the streets pretty mean, or?
They stopped being mean around 5 o'clock when the sun starts to go down.
Oh, yeah. And when the undesirables start to walk around.
Yeah. Well, I know that you have been doing not only promotions that do live events, of course, but you've also done a bit of TV. Now, coming from the Storm Academy, I'm sure that they emphasize television training more so than a lot of schools would that don't have a television-based wrestler or product associated with it. Do you think having the connection to Lance Storm and being trained by someone that wrestled primarily on television most of their career gave you a bit of a head start to land the bookings for the promotions out here that do have television?
I think that's always a big part of it. I would say that wrestling for TV is definitely different, but Lance prepared us just for about anything, and so did Buddy as well, as a person who has been on TV for a long time.
Obviously, a televised product is different than just a live show in front of the fans that are there in the arena to watch you. Do you find yourself having to wrestle differently when you're doing a television taping as opposed to if it was just a live event in front of those fans?
I would say a little bit, just so sometimes television tapings don't have as many fans there. So in those cases, I like having the fans support me. You know, I like having a good, like the fans really help me out when they cheer. So if there's less fans or they're not as loud, I don't get as much help. So I do have to wrestle a little differently. That's for sure.
Now, every wrestler gets the occasion where they interact with the fans, be it good interactions or bad interactions, but that's part of being in the wrestling business. I know you're still relatively new, but what has been your favorite interaction with a fan to date?
With a fan? Well, I have some of the best fans around here for dang sure, and hopefully around the world soon. But I've really enjoyed some of the things that fans have either, you know, I think around Christmas time was some of my favorite times because I actually got, you know, Christmas gifts from some of my fans, and that just really meant a lot to me that they liked me enough to do something like that and go out of their way. So I think that was some pretty cool fan interaction.
Now, some crowds feature fans that get particularly riled up during the course of the action, and sometimes wrestlers get the sense of dread that a fan may try to cross the line. Sometimes, even today, there's wrestlers that are very cautious of fans trying to get into the ring. It's not common at all anymore, but in years past, riots used to be common during shows. What's the scariest crowd that you've experienced so far? If you've been scared of a crowd?
Oh, well, like I was saying to QT earlier, I'm not scared of anybody ever. But I would say that I haven't been in front of a crowd that I thought was going to come in. Actually, you know what? There was one time at ECCW, I was wrestling, and I was wrestling Dr. Luther. And some of the crowd members were getting quite anxious because I was riling them up.
Now, you've never experienced anything like it until you've experienced a six-year-old trying to rush the ring and interfere.
Yeah, oh, really? Has that happened to you?
It happened to me in Alaska.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Now, obviously, one of the ways that professional wrestlers make their money, besides the actual wrestling for money aspect of the business, is merchandising themselves. People sell t-shirts, posters, hats, all sorts of merchandise. What would you say has been some of the more interesting pieces of merchandise that you've seen wrestlers trying to sell the fans?
Well, I have seen wrestlers sell things all the way from buttons and hats to scarves and coffee cups. And, interesting-wise, I think I have the most interesting merch, which you can find at any local show that I'm at near you, or you can get a hold of me on my social media. Follow me at Clark Connors, and I could get you some of my merchandise. But I sell my Clark Connors official glasses that they will help you become just like Clark Connors in the ring and out.
I hope the scarf and coffee cup reference was a reference to Nick Radford.
You caught me.
All right, because if someone else had that, I was going to question it.
Yep.
You brought up the social media, and that is something that in the last 5 to 10 years has become almost vital to the success of a wrestler, especially on the independent level. Looking at the landscape of things, just in your own opinion, would you say that the majority of independent wrestlers have a good grasp on how to correctly use social media? Or do you think not a lot of the wrestlers actually utilize social media the way it could and should be?
Well, I think there's a couple ways you could go about using social media, and there's a professional way and there's an unprofessional way. But generally, I think most wrestlers are smart when they use it. and they use it for the correct reasons, to promote themselves and to promote their ideas and their thoughts. And as long as they do so in a manner that is truthful and they're not spreading lies or deceit, then I think it's great. And I think most people around this area, at least, are very good about telling the truth and using social media the correct way.
Now, obviously, people that get to the major promotions, they have people watching over their social medias, not running it per se, but they do have people there that are paid just to watch over the social medias, make sure things don't get out there that the company doesn't approve. Do you think a service that monitored the independent professional wrestlers' social medias to advise them of things that shouldn't go out there would be a viable service, or do you think that that's something that not very many people would take advantage of if it was available?
Well, I know that a lot of wrestlers, they like to be in charge of their own stuff, but if there was a service out there that could monitor them, you know, in a way that can help them get more followers as well, I think any wrestler would love that, to be a part of their lives. Is that something that you're looking into, Sun Guy?
No, I just thought of it, but, you know, if
the Sun Guy Protection Agency.
Yeah. Think of the amount of really inflammatory posts that would go away within moments if such a service were to exist.
Right. I think maybe this is a new business venture for Turnbuckle Turmoil. The Turnbuckle Turmoil Protection Agency. Electronic Protection Agency.
There we go. I mean, WWE has it on lockdown, so why not the independent world?
Darn right.
Well, we're coming down to the final few moments of the show. I want to give you plenty of time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote absolutely anything you got, social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Well, thank you so much, first of all, for having me on, to you and to QT. I just plugged my social media right here. I got Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Clark Connors, and that's just one word. I would also like to say I got a bookings coming up. I'm actually on this upcoming weekend. I'm going up back to Randy Taylor's for PWF in Bremerton. And then you can catch me up at All-Star Wrestling. That would be in Cloverdale, in Canada, and then also you can catch me at Defy pretty much whenever their shows are. I usually be there in Seattle. So, and that's about it. And, I almost forgot. I want to give a shout-out to some of my other favorite wrestlers and just all independent wrestlers in general. And I think that, you know, we should support all professional wrestlers. And I want to give one special shout-out to Miss Stacey Carlisle, who you love, for just being a good friend and a mentor to me. So I will. That's all I have to say. And so thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely, our pleasure to have you on today. We appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a booking going on, so we appreciate you working us into that schedule. And I will see you next week in Bremerton for PWF.
Rock and roll. See you there, sir. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Fans, if you get the chance to see Clark Connors in action, go buy yourself a ticket. Great upcoming talent. He works a lot of really fantastic promotions. So get out there, support what he does. If Casey Carlisle's mentoring him, you know he's going to be outstanding. We will be back with you next week, next Friday. We have two huge guests, QT. We will have not only Joe Malenko of All Japan Wrestling fame, we will also have Rusty Brooks of WWF fame. And then 1 week from today, we're going to have another great guest with us. So make sure you join us next week. get out there, support your local independents, and we will talk to you then.